From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last Saturday at 1:15 in the morning in Montgomery County, Texas, specifically in the Montgomery County Jail. One of the biggest stars in all of sports was getting booked, indicted on negligent injury to a child charges. That star is Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson. His four-year-old son was found to have lacerations, cuts on various parts of his body, including his genitals. Peterson did not deny injuring his child. In fact, through his attorney, Peterson explained he considers himself a loving father who is simply parenting the way his parents raised him. That includes using a tree branch or a switch to inflict corporal punishment, and Peterson has said that he wants his children to know that they have to behave, but he has stressed, "I am not a child abuser." And now there's a legal question about that point. Is it child abuse to use a tree branch or a switch to inflict lacerations on your own child? Where does the line form between parental disciplinary choices and breaking the law? We're going to hear from you this hour. And in studio for the hour, we welcome Deb Rosen, the Director of Children and Family Services for the Monroe County Department of Human Services. Deb, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Evan.
Mary Whittier is the Executive Director of Bavona Child Advocacy Center. Mary, nice to see you back here.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Well, Deb, I don't mean to be so blunt, but I'll start with the point that Adrian Peterson has been trying to make here. He says he loves his children and he is not a child abuser. Do you agree with him?
Well, the law disagrees with him. The law is pretty clear about differences between corporal punishment, excessive corporal punishment, child neglect, often referred to as child maltreatment, and child abuse. From what's been reported about this really very tragic incident, it would appear to me, and of course not being first person to the, you know, activities, that his actions do rise to the level of excessive corporal punishment, which falls minimally within the category of child maltreatment. Let me say, though, that I'm in no position to judge whether or not he's a loving father. And the reality is that we see corporal punishment, whether you or I would describe that as excessive, and even forms of abuse occur within the context of a relationship that also includes love. And I think what Adrian Peterson has been taking great pains to say is, this is a part of who I am. This is a part of my family's culture for at least two generations now. Don't judge my feelings for my son. The law, however, does have the ability to judge his actions.
And Mary, that's an important point here on a couple of levels. Number one, he's been saying that that's just the way he was raised, that he's certainly not the only parent in the country who does this. And he's saying, I'm present as a father. I'm there. I'm not abandoning my kids. I am disciplining them. I'm showing them my expectations for them. What do you make of that?
And he went way too far. I'm going to say it. He went way too far. When your child's bottom buttocks are bleeding, when your child's testicles are bleeding, when your child's thighs are bleeding because you hit him over and over and over again, and you think about Adrian Peterson, think about strong and how big he is and what he does for a living, with a four-year-old, that is excessive every day of the week. And people talk a lot about how they are raised, and indeed that plays out to how we parent. That I will not argue with him on that, but that doesn't make it right. And we've got a lot of work to do. Parenting is absolutely the single most difficult job there is. I am convinced that I've got two kids that I love dearly, but some days it is really, really tough. And when people don't have options, or they don't feel like they've got choices, or they don't know any different other than hitting their child excessively. And again, I want to make it clear, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of callers calling in. We are not telling people how to discipline and raise their child, except if it becomes excessive. And, you know, Deb oversees the entire child protective team in Monroe County. And there are laws by which you cannot cross, and he crossed them.
There's so many places to go with this. We're going to be talking about what studies have shown, and I was at least heartened to see today and in the last several days and in getting ready for the show, there are a lot of studies on this about the impacts. And to Mary's point, yes, Adrian Peterson not only was raised this way, but studies have indicated that he is likely to raise his children that way as a result. But we're going to talk about that. We're not going to speak in nebulous terms. I'll give you some specifics as we go throughout the hour. Real briefly, let me ask Deb, who, when it comes to what Child Protective Services and Monroe County's Department of Human Services, when it comes to what you do, how often do you deal with parents who say, are you kidding me? I'm just disciplining my child. I love my child. Mm-hmm. Does it happen all the time?
It happens all the time, and it understandably happens all the time. Child Protective Services is, a bureaucratic agency. It is, in many ways, the long arm of the law. And when any family is approached with, by the long arm of the law, they're going to want to defend and they're going to want to say, hey, who are you to tell me what's right? How do you know the subtleties of my relationship with my child? So this is something that our entire staff and our public policymakers and administrators, I think, understand very well.
I want to listen to a couple of comments that have been making the rounds in the last few days on the question of, if my parents did it, I'm going to do it, or if it's the culture, it's the culture. If it's a societal norm, it's a societal norm. And we'll get our guests' reactions to that. The first comes from Chris Carter. Chris is a former Minnesota Viking, and he made an emotional comment about the fact that his mother used corporal punishment. And again, corporal punishment is a broad category. And Adrian Peterson might not even fall into that. He might fall into abuse or breaking the law, and corporal punishment's a different. So we're going to talk about that too. But Chris, here's Chris Carter basically saying, you can't just say this was normal in my life and in my family, so I'm going to do it too. Here's Chris Carter.
My mom did the best job she could do, raising 7 kids by herself. But there are thousands of things that I have learned since then that my mom was wrong.
Yes. Thank you.
It's the 21st century. My mom was wrong. She did the best she could, but she was wrong about some of that stuff she taught me. And I promise my kids I won't teach that mess to them. You can't be the kid to make them do what they want
to
do.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's Chris Carter on ESPN in an emotional comment saying, yes, I was dealt with corporal punishment, and I'm not going to do it to my kids, and you can't just say that you will. On the other side, Charles Barkley was talking to radio host Jim Rome, and Charles Barkley was essentially saying, you may not understand the culture, especially in the South. This is Charles Barkley talking about it.
I'm from the South. Whipping is, we do that all the time. Every black parent in the South is going to be in jail under those circumstances. I think we have to be careful letting people, they dictate how they, treat their
children.
It
doesn't matter where you're from. Right is right and wrong is
wrong.
No, well,
I don't believe that because, listen, we spank kids in the South.
That's Charles Barkley saying that every black parent in the South would be arrested the same way Adrian Peterson was if that's going to be the standard. Deb, is that a reasonable point?
No, it's not a reasonable point. It's a powerful rhetorical point, but it's one that is simply untrue. And in my mind is really unfortunate because it serves to distract from a really critically important issue that we need to approach as a larger social issue. And to claim region or to claim race or to claim culture as somehow being, homogeneously supportive of this behavior is just inaccurate and is unfair. And I will say that I think that the cyber waves have responded pretty decisively to Mr. Barkley, so I don't think...
I think that's right. He did go on to say, and to be fair to Charles Barkley, he did go on to say that, okay, it's not 1960. Maybe we have to revisit this. Maybe we have to rethink it. But he's saying that is the culture. Now, the difference, Mary Whittier, is that Chris Carter is saying, even if it's the culture, that doesn't make it okay, and we have to break that.
Well, we don't have, we don't have 7-year-olds in child labor and working in sweatshops either. I mean, and I say this oftentimes, why are we so enraged as a society when people neglect and beat and don't take care of their animals? But we are not enraged the same way people beat and neglect and don't take care of their children. It's appalling to me. And, you hope that every generation learns and every generation grows and every generation evolves and matures and through research and through really successful programs that people realize the damage that is done. Do we also think that it's okay to beat our women? Do we also think children subjected to that are more likely to grow up to be, I don't think that people understand that. And again, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people out there listening and having an opinion, and that's great, and we welcome them to certainly call. But it is a fine line. No one is here saying how to parent. But when it crosses that line, when it becomes excessive and you leave burns and bruises and welts and marks, you know, the authorities, folks from Deb's office, like Child Protective Services or law enforcement, they're going to get involved.
Okay, but before I get to the phones and some of the comments that have come in, this has sparked a wider conversation about corporal punishment in general. Mm-hmm. And we're just talking about things like spanking or paddling, things that might not leave permanent or even short-lasting marks. And is that an entirely separate conversation, or is this the right time to have that conversation, Mary?
No, I think that, you know, it's a spectrum. And every parent has different ways of disciplining. And some parents talk about, I just won't ever lay a hand on my child because it's in their minds abuse or excessive punishment. And what I find interesting, too, is some parents that will see two children fighting and one child slaps or hits the other one, the parent grabs the one that slapped him, slaps them and says, "You don't hit anybody." And meanwhile, they just demonstrated. So how confusing is that for a young child? You've just completely contradicted yourself. So some parents opt for, you know, natural consequences, things like that, that where kids learn lessons, but not by through violence.
Deb, what do you think about that distinction between an Adrian Peterson case, which I think at least now there's close, it's not unanimity, but it's close to a much larger regularly held position that is excessive. It's probably breaking the law. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say that if a child has cuts, blood, bruises, that's beating. That's a beating of any person, and even if it's your own child. But when it comes to spanking and paddling and those kind of forms of discipline, or a parent who grabs a belt, you know, and a belt may not do the damage that a switch does, but, you know, is it worth at least revisiting that now? Is this the conversation to have now?
I think it is the conversation to have, and it's interesting because when Mary contacted me about this show, I thought, you know, on some level, I wish we were talking about a case that was a little bit more subtle in its presentation of corporal punishment. Let me just be clear, though. The research and literature over the course of 30 years is unambiguous about the impact of corporal punishment. Children that are disciplined physically, and that's defined as including some element of fear and pain, are people who go on to experience higher levels of interpersonal violence, higher levels of depression, a greater likelihood of the use of excessive corporal punishment with their own children. And you know, on the individual basis, it's easy to sort of soften that. But the reality is that the advocacy and social science community have borne this out conclusively.
There are so many different studies. And let me also say that Deb is right on that point. It doesn't mean that every child who is paddled or spanked or whatever is going to grow up and do the same. I mean, you heard Chris Carter saying, I was spanked, or whatever happened to him, he's not doing, assuming he's telling an accurate story there. But the research really is clear on this. And so, yeah, I wanted to know what the studies have demonstrated. So let me just give you a couple quick examples before we get to your phone calls. In 2006, the journal Pediatrics, researchers wanted to know if corporal punishment leads children to become violent in their adolescent years or more likely to be violent. The answer was yes. The study was conducted with the participation of 134 parents and their children between the ages of 10 and 15, focused on both urban and suburban populations. Adolescents who were shown corporal punishment were much more likely to engage in fighting, bullying, victimization of others, and sort of on and on it goes. German researchers, in a new study conducted in Tanzania, where physical punishment is considered normal, primary school students who were beaten by their teacher, I say beaten, were corporally punished, I should say, by teachers or family members in the name of discipline, tended to show more behavior problems, not fewer, even though the punishment was supposed to create better behavior. And the researchers in that study took pains to try to eliminate just about every variable that they could to make sure that they had an accurate picture of whether the children, which way their behavior went. And what they concluded, the majority of children were likely to be found to have other kinds of behavioral problems at a much higher rate. That's just two examples. Here's the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga study. Kids who are paddled at school are more likely to be black, more likely to be poor, more likely to be boys. And that's why a professor at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, who studied the issue, says schools should rethink their policies on corporal punishment because, in his words, it just reinforces societal expectations of black boys, especially from poverty, and we are creating that cycle for them. Now, that's strong words, but that's just another example. So that's three examples that I found in about 15 seconds, and I tried to sift through the data to feel like the methodology was pretty solid. There is a lot more, isn't mm-hmm. there, Mary?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking, and there's schools. I mean, think about, you know, really, are we allowing our teachers to discipline our children? And for those of you that went to Catholic school, remember the rulers and the nuns and all that. But I think that we are so appreciative of having this conversation, Evan. And I think, you know, I said this yesterday, between the Ray Rice situation and the Adrian Peterson situation, if nothing else comes of this, it comes a community-wide conversation around violence and aggression towards women and children, and what can we do about it to raise our own awareness, to take a step back and learn different ways of parenting and coping, and what's acceptable and what's not. So you always got to pull some sort of silver lining off of situations like this, and I hope that's what it is.
All right, let me grab a caller who wants to remain unidentified. Go ahead. You're on Connections. Thanks for taking the time to call.
Hi. I'm calling because of this whole issue that I'm hearing this talk about. I do believe that disciplining your kids is very important, because if you look at the prison nowadays, how the population of our young people that are going to prison is because of lack of discipline, okay? And America was based upon Christianity, but the minute that we stop disciplining our kids or even having Christianity in our schools, that's when you start seeing the high rate of young adults, both male and female, rising in our prisons. So now taking away the discipline is not helping at all. It's just causing more and more trouble, more and more problems in the United States.
Thanks for taking the time to call. I'll let our panel react to that.
Sure.
Go ahead, Deb.
So, you know, many reactions. I guess my first reaction is a question, although I don't need an answer, and that is I'm curious who determined that a growing prison population in any way is a result of a lack of discipline.
Right.
As Mary and Evan and I discussed just a few minutes ago, in fact, what studies show us is that corporal punishment tends to be a precursor for interpersonal problems, including violence, which can easily land a person in prison. I do appreciate, though, that there is a very reasonable concern about community violence. I mean, as Mary just said, that's really what this conversation should be about, whether one attributes that to the presence or absence of religion in schools or to the presence or absence of certain forms of discipline. You know, all of these things are worth discussing. So I share the caller's concern that this world and this community we live in is feeling very violent, and it's incumbent upon all of us to think about solutions.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I was curious as to where what he's supporting his opinion on, that less discipline, meaning physical discipline, leads to higher incarceration rates. So that wasn't necessarily jiving for me. But
to be clear, the studies have not borne that out.
Right. Yes.
Actually, the studies have indicated the opposite.
Right.
That more physical discipline would result in more violence. But on the point of the Christianity, here's a comment from online, from Facebook, from a parent. Quote, "My motivation for spanking is that I believe the Bible clearly instructs parents to do so. My oldest is just now 2, and he is already a fairly stubborn little dude. With that said, spanking is the disciplinary method of last resort in our household. He'll get sent to his room, have his ball taken away, etc., before he gets a swat on the hind end. Ultimately, my approach to parenting is underpinned by my Christian faith and attempts to follow biblical instruction. Overshadowing it all is the tremendous amount of grace and mercy God has shown me, and I try to be as gracious and merciful in my parenting while showing the same commitment to right and wrong that God does." And he cites from the Bible Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of instruction shall drive it far from him."
Well, I'm glad to hear the word instruction in that verse, because the reality is that one of the other things studies tell us is that children do not learn well from physical discipline. So I appreciate that listener's reference to physical discipline being the last resort. The reality is that children do not tend to learn the specific lesson parents are trying to teach through physical discipline. All of us as parents want to instruct our children and shape their behavior.
This is Rich in Rochester. Rich, thanks for calling Connections.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Funny, I had one line of question and comments, but just from the first two callers, I have to say that I think people are short-sighted. Number one, it's funny how people will take things from the Bible, like, example, slavery, and say that slavery was all right in the Bible and stoning a woman was all right, and say, well, today we don't do those things. But yet they will take the abuse of a child and say, well, the Bible says it's okay. It's this justification of their actions in their own mind. That's number one. Number two, Charles Barkley, I take offense as a black man that Charles Barkley would say, well, all black parents in the South do this. I think spanking, I bet you, I assume there probably is a correlation, a socioeconomic and educational correlation between spanking, stronger than race. And number two, another point is, we send our children to their room. There's got to be a nuance here, because we can send our child to our room, but we can't lock our child in the closet. So we have to stop saying that it's okay to spank a child. So therefore, if you spank a child, you swat them on the butt. You can also hit them in their legs with a switch until their legs bruise or bleed. And just one last point. I have a real problem with how the news media is taking the term switch and saying using a tree branch. That could be like a 2-inch log for all I know. And this hyperbole that the news media is using, and I haven't heard it on this station, but using the term tree branch I think is offensive too. So there's a lot of stuff going on here.
Rich, I think on the points. When it comes to tree branch, by the way, it just shows you how different people think of different things. I hear tree branch and I'm horrified. I think something that could be knobby and painful and inflict cuts and draw blood and do all kinds of terrible things. But I guess a lot of parents will use the term switch.
Right.
Is that right?
And they'll can take a, whether it's a tree branch or something from a shrub or something, and strip the leaves off of it, so it's more like a whip, kind of, and that term is used very, very commonly. And you know, I used to work in Child Protective Services a long time ago, and you know, you talk about the whole religious thing and that whole spare the rod and spoil the child. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, and I really was it Rich that just called?
That was Rich on the phone.
Thank you for your call too, because I agree with many things that you said, and it is interesting how some people can use certain things of our past and our history, whether it's a quote in the Bible, but they want to use some of those as an examples, and then others they can justify.
You take certain things literally when it suits you.
That's exactly right, and when it fits, and when it's it really supports what you do yourself. And you know, like I said, you hope that every generation we learn from. And, you know, as it is, there's so much violence in the way of, you know, whether it's the movies we see or the music or the video games. And then to compound that with, you know, what we're doing and how we are disciplining our kids. And again, it's a fine line. It's a balance. This is not an easy answer. It's not black and white. It's not. There's so many shades of gray to this. Not in Adrian Peterson's case. That to me is clear abuse. You know, I'm using that in general terms, but I just think that it is. It's a difficult situation, and it's difficult because so many people say, "Well, that's what happened to me," and look how great I turned out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Again, I wish I had a dollar for every time someone said that, too.
Well, every time somebody wants to say that, just remember that one person is not a scientific study, and one person is not a large enough sample size. I mean, people come through amazing circumstances.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that you know, it sort of disproves wider scientific research on the subject of scientific research. And by the way, if you're waiting on the phone, we will get to you. But on the question of scientific research, a parent writes in and wants to add this to the conversation. This is a parent locally. Says, I think this is one of those things that boils down to the parent-child relationship. Generally, I feel we discuss these issues as though one size fits all, which on top of insulting the parent also presumes that children are some molds of clay that can be manipulated. They're not. They have their own destinies. I don't care to ever spank my child, but my kid's a pretty laid-back kid. I only need to get his attention. Other kids I grew up with were not like that. And no, I don't believe the idea that their parents' corporal punishment created a violent personality in the child. I got plenty of spankings as a child. It got the message across to me. In terms of the study, he says, in order for those studies you're talking about to be valid, the study has to prove not simply that violent parents have violent kids, but also that kids born of violent parents who were not brought up in a violent household do not grow up violent. So he's saying that unless you can look at the methodology and show that to him, that there's something that's missing in these studies. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's an interesting point. And without being intimately familiar with the methodology of the study,
roughly dozen or more studies.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think what the listener is pointing out is that are there some predisposing conditions of the children and families that are being studied, which would lead to violent behaviors. I think for me, the most important response to that is to say it's not just about interpersonal aggression as being a consequence, perhaps, of corporal punishment. It's also about the prevalence of depression, about low educational attainment, about many negative outcomes for children that as a society we really want to reduce. So I think it's important to approach scientific studies with a questioning and discriminating ear, and I hope that listener will read up. I think that's great.
But it's still fair to say that every single study on every single angle has so far indicated that there is a pretty close link, or the evidence at least indicates that, right?
Absolutely. And I also think, too, psychologically, too, so not only the physical discipline, but oftentimes that goes along with a lot of times, you know, the psychological and emotional, I don't want to say abuse, but neglect and things that, you know, oftentimes we'll say a bruise will fade and go away. But what you said to your child, you can never take back. And, you know, being in a system that deals with abuse and neglect every single day, the demeaning things that are said, the psychological trauma that is so much harder to see because you don't physically see that. And unless children disclose specific things that were said, and we see that at Bavona all the time because we deal obviously with the sexual abuse of children, but also all the severe physical abuse of children and even the murder of children. And so many times kids tell us about, in addition to the sexual abuse that they endured or the physical abuse that they endured, all of the psychological things that really was so damaging. And we also see, and, you know, every child is different. And the person saying, you know, every child is different is very true, that it, there's something called resiliency. And how is it, Evan, that your child could suffer the same circumstances or abuse as my child, and your child fares so much better than mine? You know, why is that? Or you have three children in your home, and you treat all three, quote unquote, the same, whether you discipline them or not. And why does one come out differently? So the whole notion of resiliency is also very, very fascinating. That's been studied too. And it's hard to know, you know, why certain kids react and then may grow up in becoming an aggressor and violent, and others will completely go the other way.
And let me put it another way for that parent's question on the scientific methodology. Of all the studies that have been done, there is not a single one that indicates that corporal punishment creates a better behavior modification.
Right.
So even if we're struggling with some of the variables, and I get that, I get that, and you want to know all the methodology and you want to make sure it's a good sample size and all those things, there's not one that is out of the many that says, well, in this time it worked, and we'll figure out why. Mm-hmm. Not one. So, okay, if you're on the phone, try to condense your point decently tightly. I know it's a complex subject. We're going to get you after the break. One quick point on what Mary talked about. Mary talked about fear as well, which is an important part of this. Think about the Adrian Peterson case, where Adrian Peterson told, through his attorney, has basically been saying, look, in this case, I was trying to discipline a child who was misbehaving, but that child knows I love him, that I'm a father that always shows love. I'm not a child abuser. According to police reports, the CBS affiliate in Houston reports that the 4-year-old child told police, quote, "Daddy Peterson hit me on my face." He would later say that Peterson would punch him in the face repeatedly, and the child reported more to police. He said he'd been hit by a belt and that, quote, "there are a lot of belts in Daddy's closet." He added that Daddy Peterson put leaves in his mouth when he was being hit with the switch while his pants were down. And the child told his mother that Daddy, quote, "likes belts and switches and has his own whooping room." So the child sounds to me like that's a 4-year-old who's scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. And I know we're not going to get off on this subject because you go all sorts of ways.
Some people, by the way, will say, good, that child will respect him.
That is appalling. Appalling. And it's abuse. I'll say it again, every day of the week and twice on Sundays. And how demeaning mm-hmm. is that for that child? And that is also what that child will live with. Horrible.
But Deb, what if the people who say, look, that child is going to grow up respecting his father, he's going to listen, he's going to understand what discipline truly means, and mm-hmm. he's going to know there are consequences for bad behavior. No?
No. And already this 4-year-old child, in his amazingly articulate little way, is saying, Daddy doesn't tell the truth. Daddy does things that are mean, and he does them a lot. And he is expressing this as unfair. I agree with Mary that this is an instance that's appalling. And not to harp too much on the scientific studies, it's not just this one little boy's voice that we're hearing.
And sadly, based on that research, this 4-year-old is not more likely to grow up respecting his father and knowing what discipline is. He is more likely to grow up becoming violent
right.
himself.
And I know that we're not necessarily talking about this, yet the NFL continues to allow him to play. And this is also a man, let's remember, who lost a different child who was killed by abuse and neglect. And now allegedly there's another child that this man has where there's allegations of abuse and neglect. This needs serious investigation into this guy. I don't care that he's the best running back in the NFL. When are we going to do something? You know, we put sports figures on such a pedestal. Why are the rules different for them than for those of us sitting around this table?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are asking that question. But right now, he is scheduled to play on Sunday. Last point before the break. A listener writes in to say, regarding corporal punishment, I have been spanked and I have been beaten, and I think there is a very clear difference. I'm not sure every parent knows that line. I'm also not sure as a society we make that distinction. Difference between beating and spanking. And Mark online wants to know, tell me you can't get arrested for spanking your child. Deb?
In my experience, you can't get arrested for spanking your child. The law does distinguish between corporal punishment and excessive corporal punishment. New York State Penal Code, as well as social service law, allows for the use of reasonable corporal punishment. I think that the difference between spanking and beating has some sort of individual variables, and yet the court has attempted and succeeded over and over again to define what those differences are.
Okay, so it sounds like the bottom line is if you cross that line, you will be treated with law enforcement appropriately, and that's what Adrian Peterson is dealing with. If you choose corporal punishment, parents make different choices, and no one's here to judge every choice a parent makes, but most of the research indicates it's probably not going to work out the way you want. I think is that a fair description?
Yeah, and I think, too, I'm not sure if we said this earlier in the show, but for those of you who are just tuning in, I think there's a line that gets crossed where when you leave marks on your child, the authorities are coming in, whether that's Child Protective Services and some where then law enforcement gets involved because they can, sometimes we'll charge assault depending upon the severity of the case. And we have had those situations at Bavona over the years.
All right. If you want to contact Bavona, how do they do it, Mary?
935-7800 or bavonacac.org.
And Deb, if they have to contact your department, what do they do?
They call the Monroe County Child Protective Services hotline. That number is listed widely, or the State Central Register in Albany, which links to Monroe County.
All right, let's take the shortest break in radio, and we're going to come right back with your phone calls next here. We have Deb Rosen, the Director of Children and Family Services from the Monroe County Department of Human Services, and Mary Whittier, the Executive Director of Bavona Child Advocacy Center. Your calls are next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, Women in Journalism. We look at how the profession has changed with the creator and the cast of a new play that's coming to the Rochester Fringe Festival. Then we'll talk to the filmmaker behind a new documentary on Teddy Roosevelt's installation as president. Matt Ryan chronicles the days after the shooting and eventual death of President McKinley. It's all coming up next hour on Connections.
Like many Americans, you may have questions about the Affordable Care Act. WXXI and the Innovation Trail wants to help find the answers. As you consider your health care options, we want to hear from you. Log on to WXXI.org and take a brief survey about your understanding of the Affordable Care Act. Learn more about WXXI's ongoing coverage of this important issue and find resources to help navigate through your health care options.
I'm Evan Dawson. Welcome back to Connections. This is Tony and Geneseo. Tony, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hi. I think that a parent who spanks their child or, you know, abuses their child, the only thing that shows or demonstrates is the parent's either unwillingness or inability to cope with the situation and their anger about it. And I think that's all that demonstrates to the child, is some inability on your part or unwillingness. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Tony, thoughts?
You know, I think, like I said earlier, you know, parenting is the hardest job in the world. And as the parent of two children and one who is incredibly strong-willed, where sometimes you just feel like, you know, you can appreciate people that just want to, you know, grab their child. It takes a lot of discipline. It's very, very hard. And the notion of people saying, oh, we'll just walk away or do that, that's easier said than done. However, just the notion of hauling off and whacking your kid. I think a lot of times, you know, people that I know that have been in situations like that, the amount of guilt that they have afterwards is tremendous, and they just are living with that. But, you know, we've said time and time again, parenting is difficult. There are other ways of getting a message across. It's this, not the same exact thing, but what we used to tell new parents or parents of infants, and if you've ever had a colicky baby, you can appreciate shaken baby syndrome, right? So it is so difficult. And that notion of the baby won't hurt themselves in the crib and you know, you never shake a baby, never. And if you've ever been sleep deprived with a colicky baby with very few support systems, it's hard, but we don't do that, you know, because if you do that, the consequences are tremendous.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the caller's perspective. And it's an ongoing challenge, but our children are better off if we're not using corporal punishment, and certainly not excessive corporal punishment.
Well, and on a little bit on that lines, but in the schools, a listener writes in to say, why are restraints and seclusions still legal in schools? They harm children in schools every day, including leaving marks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have to say that I'm not as well-versed on this issue as I wish I were, but there is a wealth of advocacy and research that is focused on the use of seclusion and restraint in schools and in other institutional settings. Again, the research is pretty conclusive that this is not productive. It is really, frankly, a convenience for people working within the schools and other settings. I mean, it's sort of that clear. I think that this is a problem that's tackled through really strenuous advocacy, and the advocacy of parents is critical to that.
And I suspect parents who have been frustrated with some of those results would probably agree with that. Let's get Mike in Irondequoit. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello, and it's a wonderful and timely message that you're putting out. The fellow from, I think it was Geneseo, who said it only shows that parents have superior strength, I think is missing something very, very important. Parents are the primary teachers of their children. we're the ones who have to say this is right and this is wrong, and words speak so much louder than actions. If I hit my child, that's telling my child it's okay to hit. That's never, ever true. Well, I guess that's a little broad brush, but I think you get my idea. We try and tell our students, our children, no, don't hit. There's a little book that we read our five-year-old. Hands are not for hitting. We don't realize the impact of our, and I don't mean just physical impact, but of corporal punishment.
Well,
we're showing by our actions that hitting is okay. And when it's done in full anger, that's about the worst that we can do. So that's my 3 cents worth.
Mike, thank you very much for the call there. And pro-social modeling is what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. We talk about pro-social modeling. I was told when I had a son, I said, I really want him to be a good reader. And they said, read to him a lot, but don't just read to them. Make sure he sees you reading. Mm-hmm. Does it extend, Deb, to parenting in terms of punishment?
Absolutely.
And corporal punishment has that same, it's in that arena?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's important to say that parents, do what they know. They do what they have learned to be effective, and in some cases they do the only thing they've ever seen. And so what that really points to is a need for, as you say, pro-social modeling in the form of whether it's classes, forms of counseling and therapy, and other learning experiences. And happily, those things exist.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about parenting programs that do exist right now.
Sure. There are a number of parenting programs that have been very well proven through multiple generations in some cases, and that are available locally, that have been shown to reduce the incidence of child maltreatment and physical abuse, to reduce the incidence of depression among both mothers and children, to increase educational attainment, to increase economic self-sufficiency, all the good stuff that we want for our own children and for our community. So some of those programs include the Building Healthy Children program offered through Mount Hope Family Center, the Nurse Family Partnerships offered through Monroe County Department of Health and other providers, Parents as Teachers offered through the YWCA, Family Resource Center, et cetera. And I think what these programs have in common is they take very seriously the need to teach and to show over a length of time. So it's not just a teacher standing in front of a class and say, you know, this is what you need to do. It's really modeling that behavior within the context of a relationship.
If they want to find some of these programs that they might not even have known existed, where can they go?
Well, they can certainly link to the Monroe County website and click into the Department of Human Services for a list of program offerings. I think that reviewing the websites for Mount Hope Family Center and for Hillside Children's Center are also good resources.
And Hillside's, just so people have it, is hillside.com. And I'm not sure about the other one, but
Mount Hope Family Center certainly has an
sure.
online presence.
So you, not only do you want people to know about that, you want anybody who feels they want some help to know about that. And you want especially, I think of the amazing parents, single parents, I think of single mothers, I think of parents in poverty who are doing the best for their kids. And I go back to that University of Tennessee Chattanooga study that I referenced earlier. And Rich's phone call earlier this hour brought back to me, Rich was offended that Charles Barkley is saying that all Southern black parents would be arrested if this is the standard and everybody does it. And Rich is saying, no, as a black man, no. Mm-hmm. You can't say that. And even if you feel that that's wrong, we need to have a conversation. We have to do better than that. And then you got this study out of the University of Tennessee Chattanooga, and one of the professors who led it said, quote, children who are living in poverty, children who are in minority groups, are less likely to graduate in the first place. We already knew that. Corporal punishment exacerbates that. It makes it even less likely that kids graduate. Our study has shown that conclusively. These are vulnerable kids already, and now fewer will graduate if they feel corporal punishment at home. That's Daryl Meese, an education professor at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. And no one is going to sit here and say that corporal punishment is is the only thing that is preventing kids in Rochester or in impoverished communities from doing better, from graduating more, from succeeding. And especially if you've got parents who at least are trying to find a way to be involved as opposed to not being involved. But is that the elephant in the room as well here, that not only is corporal punishment not as effective as we think, but in impoverished communities it could make it even more difficult to get out of that?
Well, I think, you know, there's, and we've got, you know, an incredible issue around poverty in our own community. And there are a number of factors, and some of these kids have so many things stacked against them. They're in a very poor neighborhood. They don't have much guidance or parenting at home, or one parent. There's only one parent at home, and, you know, maybe working three jobs and another parent who isn't. And then they don't have access. You know, they're walking to school a lot of times. And we hear this from kids, and getting approached for all sorts of illegal activity. And then, you know, sometimes in our school systems, you know, they don't have all the chances they get, or they are trying, they're working because they've got to help support their families. And then in the meantime, there's abuse and neglect going on at home, or lack of any adult at home. You have all these things stacked against kids. How to, you know, to pull out one factor to say this is the one thing.
Sure.
It's almost like it's just so many things. You just wonder, you know, that's a, there is no silver bullet for that, and there is so many things
that's
to...
That's right. We're not trying to stress that this is the one answer.
Right.
But the last thing we need to do is make it even more difficult or complicated, put violence into sort of a daily mindset.
Absolutely. So you've already got three or four, you know, I guess you consider risk factors in a child's life. Now you've put on regular and routine excessive corporal punishment into that, or corporal punishment into that. This is the only way through aggressive acts and beating, slapping, hitting, whatever you want to use. That's one more thing that you've just layered on top of a child who's already got seemingly so many strikes against him or her.
It really is the sort of conundrum of public policy. I absolutely would say that prevalence and concentration of poverty, race and trauma, I would say community trauma and generational trauma, are the elephants in the room. The good news is, though, that when it comes to parenting practices, that is a strand that we can tease out of that very, you know, complex and challenging sort of myriad of problems. We can tease out and we can address parenting skill.
This is Bonnie in Rochester. Thanks for calling. Bonnie, go ahead.
Yeah, it's been a good conversation. Just a couple quick things to reinforce. One is that many, many people who, you know, parents who want to do right by their kids have very limited options in terms of approaches, and we don't teach people ongoing many times with this, so behavioral approaches versus physical contact approaches. The other thing is that we also don't deal as much as we should with all the issues of oppression. Some of them have been named in the last couple of minutes, but we still think in this country, why do we have so much violence in the first place? Because we still have this image of strong man, you know, going to physically can control everything. And while there's times when that may be appropriate, but usually it's misused and not talked about enough in terms of that's not the kind of modeling we want. But we still have this double speak about, you know, isn't it good he's powerful, strong football player and all this, and yet we kind of live under this fake situation. The other thing is politically, you know, we talk about these things, and yet we keep cutting programs, we keep giving tax breaks to the wealthy constantly. We have to stop just ignoring the political consequences of what we do. And I would love to see in these programs that topic brought up on every one of these kind of subjects, because every one of them, as just your speakers were indicating, have interrelated problems. And without dealing with these things, it's wishful thinking to think you're ever going to really make any significant changes. Thank you.
Yeah, Bonnie, thanks for the call. And we appreciate all the feedback this hour. I mean, we'll certainly keep an eye on programs. And we know the fine folks from Children's Agenda and many other places have been helping us sort of see the impact of some programs, et cetera. And we will do that going forward. A couple more quick comments before we close the hour. Alicia online says, protecting, nurturing, loving, guiding, and educating is our work in parenting, not hitting. Tom says, if you have to strike a child, you have failed as a parent. And Making Grateful Kids, author Dr. Giacomo Bono has been on this program before. He is the co-author of a new book called Making Grateful Kids. He works in California. He weighs in and says, we have to set limits and give structure, listen and create a safe space, respect kids' interests, and help them problem solve. But corporal punishment tries to demand compliance now, but it harms secure attachment and positive development and models aggression for kids. Last quick question in 20 seconds comes from Joe. He says, my opinion is that spanking's fine until about age 4 or 5, and afterwards it would lose its effectiveness. Any research or idea that would be accurate?
Not that I know of. I think, you know, in fact, you could argue they're younger. They know even less. That's not even – they don't quite get the consequence of that, and it's more confusing. So I don't see that as a difference whether you're 2, 4, or 14.
Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would have to agree. I would also add that little bodies are delicate. Be careful with them.
Thank you so much for the conversation this hour. And for our listeners, again you know, sort of say, strange to say, but it's important to say that the last thing the host of this program wants to do is tell anybody how to parent, but we're all trying to be the best parents we can. I have a young child at home. I've been there. We've all been in those frustrated moments, and we're all trying to learn from and build from this Adrian Peterson story. Mary Whittier from Bavona Child Advocacy Center, thank you so much again, Mary.
Thanks, Evan, for having us.
Deb Rosen, the Director of Children and Family Services for the Monroe County Department of Human Services, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
And thanks for the great participation this hour. Short break and right back on Connections.